Begin the current daf mesechtes yuma daf ayin zayin. Begin on the bottom of ayin vav and beis, 5 lines up from the bottom of the amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf but goes in a different direction. And that is, the Gemara introduced the pasuk in Daniel that spoke about what Daniel had done because Koresh, the king of the Persians, refused to build the second base of Migdash. So it says that he stopped eating fine bread and wine. And also it says there in the pasuk that I didn't go ahead and anoint myself. And then later on, there's a pasuk that's introduced where the Malach Gavriel tells Daniel, says, don't worry, from the time that you started doing this and afflicting yourself in front of your God, then your words were heard, and because of you, Vani Basi Bidvarecha, because of you, I came inside the area of the Pargad which I was thrown out from. Now, therefore we see that what he had done, Vesoich Leisachti, which the Gemara learns both of Sicha, anointing, and also the extra word Besaich, that regarding washing, he didn't do those things, he afflicted himself, as it's called, that you were Ma'ani yourself. So we see that not doing anointing and washing is considering affliction, and that's how we know both of those, that they're included in the 5 Inuim of Yom Kippurim, because they're considered Inui affliction. Now, related to this, the Gemara continues now and asks, Mai vani basi bidvarecha. What is this at the end of that pasuk that we had introduced, that Gabriel said to, the Malach Gabriel said to Daniel, Atiru Daniel, don't worry, and that what you're doing, that you're afflicting yourself, is actually causing good things. And he ends off by saying, vani basi bidvarecha, I came inside because of your words. That means I came into the Pargad, which is in the Shemayim, there's some type of a wall, the Parga, that separates what's inside and those who are on the other side. And he says, because of you, that I went back in. So the Gemara's question is, Mai vani basi bidvarecha? What does it mean that I came because of your words? And that is, when was Gabriel chased away from the heavenly domain that he had to say, and your mer Daniel, I was able to come back in and fight for the Jewish cause? What is that all about? When was he chased away that he had to use Daniel's schus to then come back in? So that the Gemara continues and says, as regards to what's written in Yechezkel, where Yechezkel is talking about a certain prophecy which will relate to us a certain incident, that because of that, Gabriel got kicked out, so to speak, from what's inside the Pargad. And then only in the schus of Daniel, he was telling Daniel, don't worry, this that you're afflicting yourself, it's actually doing good things. In your merit, I was able to come back in. So what is it by Yechezkel? It says over there, "V'shivim ish mezikni beis Yisrael." There were 70 men from the elders of the Jewish people. V'yazniyahu ben Shafan oimel b'seicham. He was also amongst them. Oimel lefneim, standing in front of them, was the idol. V'ish mikatarta b'yada. Each person had this, the utensil that was used to bring their incense, what they were burning. V'asar anan hakatoris oila. And there was this thick cloud of katoris that was going up. Now it says there also, it says Vayishlach Tavnes Yad, that it stretched out the form of a hand, Vayikecheni Betzitzis Reishi, and they took me by the locks of my head. This is Yechezkel talking about this, and this is during the time of the Gullus Bavel regarding the Averis, the great sins that the Jewish people had, and that's why they had this Churban. So Yechezkel was saying about this prophecy, he had this vision that he was taken by the locks of his head, Matisa Oisi Ruach, and then the wind came and took me. Bein the arts of the Shemaim, that was between the earth and the heavens. Vatavi Isi Yushalayim, and it brought me to Jerusalem. Bemaras Elikim, in the vision of God. El Pesach Shahar Penimis, to the entryway of the inner gate. Hapoin Tzafoina, that was facing northward. Asher, and then we continue on top of Ein Zayin and Aleph. Sham Moishav Seimel Hakina Hamakna, that there was this image that caused this jealousy. There was this, the idols that were there in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, he continues and he says, Vayavi Isi El Chatzar Beis Hashem Epanim. So he brought me to the courtyard of the house of Hashem that was in the inside. Vihine Pesach Heichal Hashem. And now there was by the entryway of the sanctuary of Hashem, Bein Ulam or Bein Mizbeach, which is between the antechamber and the Mizbeach, Ke'esu Mechamisha Ish. There were around 25 men. Achareim El Heichal Hashem. Their backs faced towards the sanctuary of Hashem. Ufneim Kedma. And their faces were facing eastward. And they were bowing down and prostrating themselves, facing eastward towards the sun. Now, that's the pasuk that Yechezkel says. The question is, from the fact that the pasuk describes them, that their faces were eastward, don't I know that their backs were obviously towards the sanctuary of Hashem, which is on the western side? What does it teach us when it says that their backs were towards the Heichal of Hashem? This comes to teach you that they uncovered themselves. And they were defecating, they were relieving themselves downward towards the Heichel, so to speak, in disrespect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this was the vision that Yechezkel was shown. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malach Michael, Michael, Sarchu Masecha, you represent the Jewish people. Your nation have sinned, they've spoiled. So Michael said in front of Hashem, Rabbi Nishalah, master of the world, it should be enough, the good ones of the Jewish people, that in their merit they shouldn't be destroyed. Hashem said to Michal, I'm going to burn them and to the good ones among them. Miyad, right away it says there in the pasuk, Vayomer el ha'ish levush habadim, Hashem said to the man that was wearing the linen, and that's always a reference to Gavriel, as that's what the reference which the pasuk that we're describing in Sefer Daniel, who is talking to Daniel, that's a reference, it says the one who's wearing the linen, that's a reference to the Malach Gavriel. So Hashem said to the Malach Gavriel, Vayomini said, Boy el beinus lagalgal, go between the galgal, al tachas lakruv, which is under the kruv, umalich afnecha, and fill up your handfuls, gachle eish mi beinus lakruvim, with the hot coals that were between the kruvim, uzdroi kalair, and throw it on the city, vayobaleina, then that should come to my eye, which he wanted to destroy Yerushalayim. Miyad, right away, it says, Vayishlach ha-kruvis yodai mibeinus lekruvim, that the kruv stretched out his hand from that's between the kruvim, el ha-eish asher beinus ha-kruvim, to the fire that's between the kruvim. Vayisa, he picked it up, Vayitin el chofnei levush habadim, and he put it into the handfuls of the fistfuls of the one who was wearing the linen. Vayikach v'yetze, and Gavriel went and took it, and he went out. Now the Gemara comments, which is very important, that Amr of Chana Babizna, Amr of Shem Chasida, Il Mali Loy Nitzdanenu Gacholim, had it not been that the coals had cooled down, Miyodishal Kruv Liyodishal Gavriel, when it went from the first Kruv, first picking it up, and then giving it to the handle of Gavriel, Loy Nishtari Misainin Shal Yisrael Sardapalat, there would not have been left over, again, although it uses the enemy term, it really means the Jewish people themselves, any remnants and any leftovers, the entire Jewish people would have been wiped out had it not cooled down from first being taken by the kruv and then given over to Gabriel. And therefore, it says over there in the pasuk, "V'hinei ha'ish labush habad," and then the man, the one who was wearing the linen, again a reference to the Malach Gabriel, "Asher kesis b'masnav," that had the slate on his loins, "Meshiv davalema," he came back to report saying, "Asisi kasher tzevisani Hashem, I did like you commanded me." So Amr B'yechim Yechlin says, "Be'oisir shah," at that moment, they took Gavriel out from outside, towards the outside area of the parga that separates the holy areas in Shemayim. And they whipped him with 60 lashes of fire. Amrulay, they said to him as follows, Eloy avadita, had you not done your mission at all, so lavata, that means you wouldn't have done. And that is, we would have found a way to justify what you had done, because we would have thought to say that it's not like you don't want to do it. You're just waiting that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu will return from his anger and he'll be willing again towards the Jewish people. And therefore, maybe that's why you didn't do it yet. However, Iyavadta, but if you did it, Amayla Yavadta Kepuduchach, why didn't you do it the way you were commanded to do it? And that is, you went and you didn't take the coal straight yourself. You let the kruv go ahead and take it and give it over to you. And you wanted it that way. You told him to give it to you and not for you yourself to do it. And that's why it cooled down. And that's why it didn't destroy the Jewish people. But that's not what you were commanded. You were commanded to go ahead and take it yourself. Void, and moreover, something wrong that you did. Davadita, now that you did it, leslach, don't you hold of the famous dictum that ein meshivin al kakala? You don't go ahead and give reports about bad reports, about things that have been ruined. And therefore, what are you coming back and telling us that you did it? So this was the punishment for Gavriel, that he had done not the way he was commanded, that was to take it. Actually, he had first it given over, and that's how it cooled down, and that's why the Jewish people weren't destroyed. So they brought Duvil, who is Sar de Parsai. He's the Malach, he's the angel, the ministering angel of the Persians. And they put him in the place of Gavriel. And he went and served for 21 days. And that's what the Gemara says, that's what it says in the pasuk in Daniel. Misar Malchus Paras, this was what Gavriel was telling Daniel, that the angel of the kingdom of Persia was standing opposite me, Esrim Echad Yom, for 21 days. V'hine Michael, Echad Hasarim Harishainim, and then Michael, one of the early princes, Bol Azreini, he came to help me. But I was still staying there next to the king of Paras, and that is for 21 days he was taking control, and that's what the Gemara comments. Yavolei Esrin Bechad Malchi, that they gave 21 kingdoms to the Persians. Ufarvasa de Mashig, and the port of Mashig, which means the port of royalty, because royalty in Persian is called Mashig, and that's because there, that's where the port they would bring the margolias, the pearls, as the Gemara says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. That's what they gave for those 21 days. He got correlating to that. He got these 21 kingdoms because of that. He took over the place of Gabriel. So Amar Sudavil, who was the angel of the Persians, who he was in control now, so he said, "Ksivu li Yisrael ba'karga, write for me that the Jews are going to have to pay the head tax." Ksavuli, so they wrote for him. He was in charge now. Kasivili Rabbanan Bakarga says, I want you to write for me that the rabbis are going to have to give the head tax. So constantly they wrote for him. Now, Be'idna Deboy Lamechtim, when they wanted to seal it and make it final, a done deal, the Jewish people are going to be totally subservient. Even the rabbinic leaders are going to have to go ahead and give the head tax. Amen Gavriel Machaya Hapargit. So Gavriel stood up from the other side of the wall. V'amran, he said, quoting a passing in Tehillim, Shav Lochem Mashkimekum. It's in vain that those of you who you get up to stand up, Me'achrei Shevis, from after that you've been sitting all this time, Oichli Lechem Atzavim, who eat the bread of sadness, because Ken Yitin Lididei Sheina, because he's going to give it to those who shake from themselves sleep. As the Gemara explains, my Ken Yitin Lididei Sheina, what does it mean? Because what are you trying to do? It's all in vanity that you're all trying to do, because he's going to give it to those who remove their sleep. Amir B'Yitzchak says, that was a reference to even the wives of Talmudic scholars, of the Jewish people. That they shake sleep from their eyes in this world, and they merit the world to come. And that is what he was telling them was, are the different nations fit that the Talmudic sages should be given over to them? But the Pasuk praises that even their wives shake the eyes from their sleep, waiting up for their husbands. And therefore, it's in vain that the other nations who are getting up and they go late to the work they're doing, that they eat the bread of depression, of sadness, of hard work, because what's the point of all you trying to do what you're doing? Hashem, who feeds the entire world, is going to give the mezainis and parnassus liyadidei sheina, and that's for those who shake the sleep from their eyes for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are even the wives of a Talmid Chacham do that. However, the Gemara tells us, v'lehi shkichu lav. Although he was coming up with this great defense of the Jewish people, no one paid attention to him. So Amal Afanav, he said in front of HaKadosh Baruch, he says, Rabbi Nishal, master of the world, if all the sages of all the nations of the world will be on one side of the scale, and Daniel, the desirable man, will be on the other side, wouldn't it come out that he would weigh out all the other sages? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he heard that, he said, "Mihu zeh shamalamet zchus albana? Who is this that's trying to prove merit for my sons?" So Amar Lefanav, so they said in front of Hashem, "Ribbono shel Olam, Master of the World, it's Gavriel, it's the Malch Gavriel." So Amar Lehem, so they said to them, "Yavai, let him come inside the wall that he was thrown out from." Shneim, like it says in Pasuk in Daniel, the one that we were quoting in the beginning of the daf, "Vani basi b'dvarecha, that I came with your words. It's because I spoke about you." That's why I was let in. That's what it means, bidvarecha, because of the words I said about you, that's why I was able to come back in. So again, the Gemara resumes that discussion. So Amalahu, Hashem said to them, Leil, let him come in. Sayluhu, they let Gavriel back inside. Asa ashkechil devil, so he came and he found devil that was denokid leligar to be other. He had that letter that was written that the Jewish people and their rabbis, Talmid Chacham, will have to give the head tax. So boy lemirim, he wanted to grab it away from him. However, bala, he went and swallowed it. So Igadam, those that say that Michtav HaVaksiv, it was only written at that point, Michtam LaBachsam, it wasn't signed. Igadam, those that say, no, the Af Michtam Nam HaVaksam, at that point it was already signed. However, Kedibale, when he swallowed it, Machig Lemine, that act of swallowing erased the signatures from it, the signing. And that's why, Hainu Dibba Machus the Pars, that's why by the Persian kingdom, Ikadiyov Karga, Vikadiyov Karga, that's why some do give the tax and some don't, because it was written but it wasn't signed. And even if it was signed, it got erased when it came down. That's why some of the rabbis had to give, and some of them didn't. Now, the Gemara continues quoting that Pasuk in Daniel, where it says in Daniel, Perek Yud, Pasuk Chav, says that this was at the end after Gabriel told Daniel that it was in your merit that I came back in. So don't think it's in vain, this, that you're being ma'ani yourself, you're afflicting yourself, with not anointing yourself and not washing yourself. So then he continued to say, he says, however, Ata Ashab lihilochim sar parz. He says, now I'm going to go back to fight with the angels, with the Malach of Paras, of Persia. However, then he continued, it says, but he says, but Bani Yoitzin, I'm going out. Vihine sar Yavin, but however, the Malach, the leader of Yavin, of Greece, he's coming in now. And that's what that meant, is that he was telling Daniel that now came the time for Malchus Yavin to take over, and I have to go out forcefully, because the decree has already been decreed. And that's because the Greek Tsar is coming to take me over. Ave, Ave, he was screaming and crying Gavriel on this, that the Greek king should not rule over the Jewish people. However, no one paid attention to the Malach Gavriel, and the Greeks ended up taking over the Jewish people in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now that's the end of that discussion. Again, which was introduced because we had mentioned the source for Rechitza that is considered Inui, and Sicha was from that pasuk of Daniel where he said he stopped doing that. And Gavriel called it an Inui, and then at the end of that pasuk says, and because of that merit, I actually was able to come back in because I was mentioning you, so don't think it was in vain. Now the Gemara continues, V'ibayisim, if you want, you can say a third source for how we know that Rechitza de Ikri Inu Menolan. How do we know that not washing oneself is considered affliction? Mahacha from the following pasuk, the Siva says, the pasuk Melachim Aleph says, Uleb Yasser HaKoin Am HaMelech, that Shleima HaMelech told to Eb Yasser HaKoin, Anosis Lech, go to Anosis, Al Sedecha, by your field, Ki Ish Moves Atem, because you're a dead man. Ubayem Ezeleim Misecha, but today I'm not going to kill you. Ki Nasases Arein Hashem Elikim Lefnei David Avdi, Avi, because you carried the Ark of Hashem, Hashem, that the God, in front of my father, David. And that was at the time when he was running away from Avshalom. Eb Yasser HaKoyin went with David HaMelech. Now, Chies Anisa B'chol HaShes Ano Avi, and that you also were afflicted with everything that my father was afflicted when they were fleeing from Avshalom. Now, so we learn that when David HaMelech and his men were running away because of Avshalom, whatever they experienced was considered an affliction. Now, Uchsiv Be'be David, and says there in that incident when he was fleeing, it's a pasuk in Shmuel Beis, says, Ki Amr, because they said, Ha'am Roiv, the people that were with David are hungry, ba'ayif, and they're weary, b'tzameh, ba'midbar, and they're thirsty in the desert. Now, what do these different terms mean? So ra'ayif means melech, and they were hungry from bread, b'tzameh, and thirsty means mimayim, from water. Ayif mimay, what does it mean they were weary? Weary from what? Lav merchitza, isn't it from the fact that they weren't able to bathe themselves? And therefore you see that not washing is considered inoy, affliction, which was what they had experienced when they were running away. Nothing more says no. Maybe they were weary from not wearing shoes, and that's what's considered Inu. And we don't have a source, which the Gemara is trying to prove from here, that not bathing, not washing, would be considered Inu. El Amar Yitzchak, rather Yitzchak says Mahacha, from the following pasuk in Mishlei, that says, Mayim Karim al Nefesh Ayefa, cold waters on the weary soul. Now, so therefore you see that Rechitza is considered Ayef, because we say that pouring cold water, which is what bathing oneself is for the weary soul. Therefore, we see that being weary is regarding bathing and not regarding wearing shoes. And therefore, since we consider inui, as it says that ashes ana avi, we see that that's considered an inui because ayefa, which it says in the context by David HaMelech, that they were ayef. Obviously, ayef is a reference to, as we're proving from this pasuk of Mishlei, regarding mayim karim, putting cold water on the person. And therefore, since that was considered, when Shlomo HaMelech told Eb Yasser that that was an experience of inui, we see that not bathing is considered an experience of inui. So the Gemara asks, what do you mean? B'dilam mishtiya. How do you know that pasuk of mayim karim, cold waters for the weary soul, is considered washing? That's ayif, and that's what David HaMelech had with Eb Yasser. Maybe it's talking about drinking cold water for the weary soul. The other Gemara answers, no, because miksiv bin nefesh ayifa, is it saying in the weary soul, which was drinking comes inside the person? It says, al nefesh ayifa ksiv. The pasuk says, on the weary soul. And therefore we have a source, again, that rechitza is considered ayif. And it says regarding that context that Oyef was an experience of Inui, and that's how we know that not washing oneself in Yom Kippurim is considered Inui, is considered an affliction. Now the Gemara continues with the next item. So far we have a source for Achila, Shtia, Rechitza, Sicha, that they're considered Inui. Now, Benila Sasanda Menolam, where do we know that not wearing shoes is considered an affliction? So like it says, the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it says, V'David Oyla B'mali Hazesim, the David Melech went up on the levels, the high up of the Har Hazesim, Oilu Avoichi went up and he was crying, V'roish Loi Chofoi, and his head was covered. Now, V'hu Hoylech Yochem, and he was going beer. Now, Yochem Mimai, beer from what? Lav min ila sa sandal? Isn't he going barefoot? Which means to say he wasn't wearing shoes, and therefore you see that this was also on their when they were running away, which was the experience of inuy, as Shlomo HaMelech said. And therefore we see that he was considered, the not wearing shoes is considered an affliction. The Gemara says no. But dima misusi umartika. Maybe he was beer from a horse and the horse whip, which that he wasn't, he didn't have what he usually had as a king. That's what he was going yoche from. But not that he wasn't wearing shoes. There was no raya that not wearing shoes considered inuy. The elam of Nachum beYitzchak mahocha. Rather, the raya is from the following pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Lech ufisach to hasak mal masnecha. Go ahead and open up the sackcloth from on your loins. V'nalcha tachlitz mal reglecha, and take off the shoes from your feet. Now, Chesivin says there at the end of that pasuk, beYas kein, and they did this. Holich Orm v'Yachiv, he went naked and bare. Now, Yachiv Mimai, what does it mean? Bare from what? Lav Nil Sasandal. Isn't it talking about from wearing shoes? Because, as Rashi explained, that pasuk is talking about Yeshaya. Now, Yeshaya wasn't a king like David. He wasn't accustomed to be riding on a horse. Therefore, obviously, when it says that he was going bare, it means he was going bare how he usually goes, which is from shoes. And therefore, that reveals regarding when David HaMelech says Yachiv, which, as we said, is considered Inui when they were running away, must be also a reference of Yachiv. As we can see clearly, Yochav by Yeshaya means not wearing shoes. Must be the David also meant not wearing shoes, and therefore that's a reference to Inui that they had experience over there. So therefore you see not wearing shoes, consider affliction. On that the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ve'ema bimin olam hamutulayim. We could say that when it says he was going Yochav beer, it doesn't mean without shoes at all, as we're trying to learn Yom Kippur, not allowed to wear shoes. Rather, it means that he went with torn shoes. And that's what considered Yachiv. Because if you don't say that, and you say actually he went barefoot totally, then how Arim Mamish? Then the other reference, it says that he went Arim and Yachiv. So you tell me Arim means totally naked? He didn't go totally naked. Elabib Gadim Beluyim means he went with worn out clothing. That's what was called Arim. Chanami b'menol matulam here also means not totally barefoot. It just means that they were torn shoes, and therefore there's no raya again that Yachiv means totally without shoes. So Elam of Nachum Yitzchak, rather he says, Mahachav, in the following passage in Yirmiyah, that it says, clearly, Mini Raglech Miyachiv, stop having that your feet should be going Yachiv, Begreinech Mitzimah, and that your throat should be from thirst. And what the translation of that passage is Mini Atzmucha Menachet, remove yourself from sin, Kadesh Lo Yavi Raglech Lidei Yachiv, so that your feet should not come from going barefoot, and that is when the person will have to go out into exile because of his sins, then he'll be going barefoot. So don't do sins so that you won't have to go yachiv. Mini l'shenich midvarm b'telem, and then hold back your tongue from saying idle chatter, k'deish l'yavi groin chledeit sama, so that your throat should not come to thirst. But what we see clearly is that it's a reference to when going in exile, when a person is walking without shoes, going barefoot, that's a gzeir of galus. So we see clearly that yachiv is a reference to barefoot, and therefore when it's said in the context of David HaMelech that Shlomo defined it as either as affliction, we see that not wearing shoes is considered affliction. Now the Gemara moves on to the final of the five items which are considered inuyim, afflictions, which are the five things that are usa to do on Yom Kippur. Tashma shamita de'ikri inu minola. How do we know that not having marital relations is considered an affliction? So still like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis, that Lavan told Yaakov Avinu when he was taking leave of him, says, just be careful im ta'anes benoisai, if you're going to afflict my daughters, v'im tikach noshim, and if you're going to take on other women besides my daughters as wives. Now, the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, that the interpretation is, im ta'ana, what does it mean if you're going to afflict my daughters? It means mitashmish, that if you're going to hold back their oina, which is the proper times when you're supposed to be to cohabit with them, if you're not going to do that. Vim tikach, and if you're also going to take on more wives, that's mitzaris, that's like the literal translation of the pasuk, that you shouldn't add on more wives, and then you're going to be neglecting my daughters as wives. So there you see clearly that inui, it says imta'ana, is a reference to cohabitation, that not giving them the cohabitation, the marital relations that they're supposed to have, is considered an inui, an affliction. However, the Gemara asks, how do you know? Maybe both parts of the pasuk are talking about not taking on new wives. And that is, the translation of the pasuk is, imta'anes benoise, if you're going to inflict my daughters, how, by taking on other wives, that you shouldn't do. So how do you know it's two different things? Maybe they're both a reference to the tzaras about taking on co-wives. I think my answer is, miksiv imtikach, does the pasuk say that if you're going to take, which would sound like that it would be a translation, it would define the first half of the pasuk, and that is, if you're going to take, then that's going to be ma'ana. It doesn't say that. It says ve'im tikach ksiv. There's a vav that says, and if you're going to take on, which sounds like it's a different thing. In other words, the Gemara's question was that it should define the first half. Im ta'ana, im tikach. That is, it's inu if you take. But it doesn't say ve'im tikach. Sounds like it's a different thing. That you can't say that it's two different, that it's the same thing. And therefore, it sounds like one is regarding the not having married relations, and the other one's regarding taking on more wives. However, the Gemara continues to ask and says, wait. Ve'imi id ve'idi mitzaras. No, we could say that they're both in reference to taking on new wives. However, in that they are two different things, and that's why there's a vav. Because chad le tzaris didei. One is for the tzaris that he already has. And what Lavan was referencing was that he shouldn't make Bilha and Zilpa, who were the lower level wives, that they shouldn't make them equal to his daughters, which were Rachel and Leah. And then he's making them swear another half, imtikach noshim, which was v'chad le tzaris to asleim alma. And then additionally, he shouldn't take on wives from other people in the world. And that would make more sense because dum yudim tikach. Then that would be exactly, it would make sense because that would be the flow that there's two components he was telling him, but they're related. Both were, you shouldn't take on more wives. Don't neglect my daughters, Rachel and Leah, one by elevating the level of Bila and Zilpa. And then additionally, you shouldn't take on other wives from the world. How do you know that imta'ana means not having married relations? Now the Gemara answers, miksiv imtikach vimta'ana. Does it say first imtikach and then imta'ana? And that is because what's more harsh? The taking on new wives is more harsh than the first one. And if it should have been the way you're saying it, that it's talking about taking on new wives, he should have first made him swear, look, don't take on new wives. That's for sure you shouldn't do. And then he should have said even more. He says, look, and even the wives that you already have, don't elevate their status to the level of the full-fledged wives that you have of Rachel and Leah. Because really, Bilhah and Zilpa were shivchis, they were just maidservants. And therefore, does it say imtikach, which would have meant first, don't take on new wives, and then v'imta'ana, then even the wives that you have, don't elevate them? It doesn't say that. Imta'ana v'imtikach, it says first, if you're going to afflict, and then if you're going to take on new wives from outside, therefore it must mean that it's talking about marital relations, and then new wives, because if they were both talking about tsaris, it should have said, first imtikach, first, for sure, don't take on new wives. And even the wives that you have, then imta'ana, you shouldn't go ahead and afflict my daughters by elevating the levels of Bilhah and Zilpa. And it doesn't do that. Again, so therefore, it's clear that imta'ana means mitashmish, and that's how we see that desisting from marital relations is considered inu, an affliction. However, the Gemara asks, Amalei Rav Papa Abaye, but hatashmish gufe ikra inu. That, however, we see that the marital relations itself is considered an affliction. And that is, we're saying that in Yom Kippur, by desisting from that, is considered affliction. Here, the Pasuk seems to say that an actual cohabitation, that act itself is an affliction. The Siddur, like says, a Pasuk in Bereishis, says, Vayishkav oisa bayaneho, that Shechem, he lay with Dina, and he afflicted her. So you see that the act of cohabitation itself is affliction. So why are we saying that Yom Kippurim, affliction is not to have marital relations, when the Pasuk here sounds like the relations itself is considered, the cohabitation is an affliction? So he responded, he says, no. Hasam she'ina mibiyas acheres. There, he afflicted her, yes, by desisting from marital relations, although he had relations with her. However, she desired, once he lay with her, she desired to be with him other times. And he refused to be with her other times when she was still with him. That desisting was an inui for Dina, and therefore we see that it's the same concept as saying that desisting from the relations is considered an affliction. Now, the Gemara continues now back to Rechitza. So we found the sources for all the five inuyim that are us on Yom Kippurim, that it says five times in the Torah regarding Yom Kippur that one should be afflicted, and we bring the sources for each one that to consider affliction. Now the Gemara continues to analyze and clarify some of the halachas of these inuyim. Turn about the Braisa regarding rechitza, bathing, says, Asa lirchitz miktzas gufoy kukol gufoy. You're not allowed to wash even part of the body, just like you're not allowed to wash the entire body. However, v'mhoye meluchach betit ubitzayef, he was dirty with mud or with excrement, with waste matter, then rechitz kedarka v'nechesh, then you can wash yourself as regular and you don't have to be concerned. And the reason is for all these things is because it's only forbidden washing, anointing of pleasure. This is not for pleasure, this is just to get rid of the waste, the filth, and therefore that's not considered a violation of inu, of affliction, because it's not the opposite of that, of pleasure, and therefore you're allowed to do that. Similarly, also lasuch miktzas gufi kukol gufi. You're not allowed to anoint even just part of the body, just like you're not allowed to anoint the entire body. However, if he was ill, or if he had scabs on his head, then you could anoint, you could rub in some oil as usual, and you don't have to be worried again because it's not considered a violation of affliction. You're just doing it for the illness. Tanu Bei Menashe, it was taught in the Yeshiva of Menashe, Reb Shimon Lil said, Madicha Isha Yoda Achas Ma'im. Similarly, a woman is allowed to wash one of her hands with water, and that's because there's a ruach ra, there's an evil spirit that rests on bread that was touched with hands that weren't washed in the morning. So therefore, a woman could first wash her hands so that when they send this pasul tenet, that she could give bread to the child. V'enechashesh, she doesn't have to be concerned at how she's washing herself, because again, it's not for pleasure, it's just to get rid of the ruach ra, to be able to give the bread to the child. Amru lav al Shammai HaZaken, they said regarding Shammai the elder, Shlei rotz lahachal b'yod achas, he did not want to give, to wash even one hand, to give bread to his little child on Yom Kippurim, because you're not allowed to wash yourself on Yom Kippurim. But Gazru lav lahachal b'shtei yadam, and they actually decreed on him that he has to give it actually with two hands to demonstrate this halacha that one is allowed to wash oneself, because the purpose is not for pleasure, it's just to get off the ruach ra. The Gemara said, my time, what's the reason for all this washing? Mabayim shum shivsa. Shivsa is the name of the demon that rests on the hands, and therefore that demon, you have to get rid of that first. That's why one is allowed to wash the hands, and it's not a problem of the inui of rechitz on Yom Kippur. Similarly, turn around and learn the braisa. Ha'holich lahakbul p'nei aviv. If someone's going to visit his father, oy p'nei rabbi, or his teacher, oy p'nei misha gadol mimenu, or someone that's greater than him on Yom Kippur, he's allowed to go even up to his neck in water. It doesn't have to be concerned that, what do you mean, you're bathing? That's not, again, bathing. Water is not an intrinsic problem. It's just a problem when it's being done for pleasure as a violation of affliction. And when you're just going to something that you have to do to visit your Rebbe on Yom Kippurim, that's not a concern. Now, Yiboyluhu, they had the following question. What's with Harav Itzel Tamad Mai? What's with if the Rebbe wants to come to the student? Would that also be enough of a cause to allow one to go up to his neck in water? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come in here. The Amr of Yitzchuk Babar Khan, he said that Ano Chaziti Leziri, I saw Ziri, the Ozla Gaber of Chia Barashi Tamidi, I saw him going in water on Yom Kippurim to go visit his student on Yom Kippurim, so you see that you're allowed to. However, Ravashi argues and he says, no. Actually, that incident was Hahu Rav Chia Barashi. It was Rav Chia Barashi, the Ozla Gaber de Ziri Rabbi, who went to his Rebbe Ziri, and therefore there's no Raya, because we didn't have a story of a Rebbe going to student. It was a student going to Rebbe, which I agree you're allowed to do on Yom Kippurim. Continuing on this, the Gemara says that Rabbi Shari Lebnei Eber Yamina, Rabbi permitted the people from Eber Yamina leMa'ave b'Ma'agelin Turiperi to cross over the water, again to go through the water to watch their produce because they had these orchards on the other side of the river. He allowed them to go through it on Yom Kippurim. So Amalei Baile Rav, Abai said to Rabbi, Tan Demesai Elaf, there's a Brisa that supports you, as the Brisa says, Shomer Peris, those who watch the produce. Over not savar and b'mayim, they're allowed to go through water up until the neck. And they don't have to be concerned about rechitz on Yom Kippurim. Similarly, the Gemara says Rav Yosef Sharluhu lebnei Beit Tarbu. Rav Yosef permitted the people of Beit Tarbu, which is the name of a certain village, lema'ava b'maya lemesa leperka, to go through water to come to the lecture that they would lecture on Yom Kippurim. Now lemesa lo sharluhu, but he didn't let them go back home because now there was no more a function that was necessary to be done to allow one to get wet. Amalei Abaye told him, he says, Imkain, atamachshin laslavi, but then you're going to make them stumble in the future because what happens is next year they're not going to come because you don't let them go back home. So they can say, why am I going to go to the lecture? I can't go back home. So therefore, it is important function even to allow them to go back home through the water because it's part of the process of coming in the first place. Ikadami, they would say a different version of that incident, that Sharluhu lemesi, Rav Yosef permitted them to come, Bishar le'lemeza, Yosef let them go home. Now, Amalei Abaye said to him, what do you mean? Bishlam le'meisi l'chaya, understand that you let them come because this is the function of hearing the drash in Kippurim. And le'meiz my time, why do you let them go home? On that he answered, Kadesh le'tehe makshin las lovi, so that we shouldn't make them stumble in the future that they're not going to come back next year because we don't let them go back home. Now, the Gemara brings a story related to these halachas that Rav Yehuda, Rav Shmuel, Barav Yehuda, Havakaimi Agudud Nhar Papa. They were standing on one side of the river of Papa. Now, that was Amavra de Chatzdad. That was by the juncture, the place which was opposite the river, which was opposite Chatzdad. Vavakoi Rami Bar Papa Mahakis. Now, Rami Papa was on the other side of the river. Ramalu called, so he picked up his voice. He screamed across the river, said, Maho Lemevir Lemesi Ligabaycha, what's the halacha for me to come to you through the river, Lemishal Shmaitza, to ask you a halacha regarding learning? Some of the Rabbi Huda said to him, Rav Shmuel, Dermatavayu, both Rav and Shmuel, they say, Oiver you could go through. Ubavad, however, you have to be careful about a different halacha. There's no problem about going through the water. As we said, if there's a need for it, it's not a problem of violating the Isra b'chitza. However, ubavad shalo yitzi yodi metachas chefi chalukit. As long as one does not pick up his hand from underneath the hem of his garment, the bottom of his garment. And that is, you can't pick up your if let's say one is wearing like a cloak type of a garment, like a talus. He can't pick up his hands, which would then pick up his garment over his shoulders. That's because since it wouldn't seem anymore like he's wearing it, rather then it would seem like he's carrying it on his shoulders. Now the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Nafkav Mem Zayin Amud Aleph tells us that if someone goes out with a talus folded over on his shoulders on Shabbos, he's chayav chatas, because that's not wearing, that's actually carrying. So therefore, this picking up your hand from underneath would look like you're picking it up, which would look like the Isra of carrying on Shabbos. So therefore, as long as you don't pick up your hand from on the bottom, then it's okay. You won't be violating the Isra of Rechitzin and Kippurim, and you also won't be violating what looks like the carrying of the garment on Shabbos. Ikadam, those say a different version, that Amalei Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda says, Tanina, we learned the price of this, that over you can go by, as long as you don't pick up your hand from underneath the bottom of your garment. Now, Maskevla Rav Yosef asked, regarding what we said before, that we asked, can you go through water even at Savari B'mayim up until one's neck on Yom Kippur? And we said, that's okay, because although you're washing yourself, but that's not considered a violation of the washing of Ino, of affliction, because it's not a washing of pleasure. Now, Rav Yosef asks, he says, wait a second, forget about Yom Kippurim. U'b'chol ki ha'gav n'mishari, even during the weekday, are you allowed to go through water that's up to your neck? But Vaksiv, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel, and that is, this was a vision that the Malach showed Yecheskel, that there was a stream that was going out from the Kodesh HaKadosh, from the holiest of the holiest in the Beis HaMikdash. That first it started off like a small thread, then it got bigger and bigger, and every thousand amos in the length, he would continue showing him what it looked like, and that it got bigger and bigger. So it says over there that Yomad Elef B'yama, that they measured a distance of 1,000 amos, and he had me go through the water, which was me'afsayim, which was only waters up until the ankle. That means when it went out of Yerushalayim, the depth was only up to the ankles. And he had me walk through that water to see that it was only up to the ankles. Mikan shemutra laval adafsayim. So from there you see that one is allowed to walk through water that's only up to his ankles. Now then the pasuk continues, v'yomid elef, then he measured another 1,000 amos. V'yavirin b'mayim, and again he had me go through the water. Mayim berkayim, which was water up until the knees. Now, Mikancha Mutalava Abrakam. So now from here you see that you're allowed to walk through water that's up to your knees. But Yom an Elf, and again he measured 1,000 amos. But Yavarinim and Misnaim, then he had me go through water that was up to the waist. Mikancha Mutalava Ad Misnaim. From here you see that you're allowed to go through water that's up until the waist. However, Mikam Ve'elach, from here and on, the Pasuk says of a Yom an Elf, they measured another 1,000 amos, was a Nachal Ashalai Uchalava, was already a stream that I wasn't able to go through. Now, from there you see that it's forbidden to go through water that's higher than one's waist. So how can we say that, yes, there's no problem about Yom Kippur, about Rechitza, about going up through water that's up to one's neck, but forget about Yom Kippur. Even during the week, when it's higher than one's waist, it's too dangerous, and one's not allowed to walk through it. So how can we say Yom Kippur, you're allowed to walk through water that's even up to one's neck? So Abaya says, Shani Nachal, the stream that was coming out from the base Kachim in that vision, that was different. That water was going fast. It was a raging river. That was not allowed higher than the waist because that would be dangerous. But still waters that go up to one's neck, that's not a problem. And different Yom Kippurim, one is allowed to go through. There's no problem about Rechitza. And there's also no problem about danger because since it's still waters, it's not a raging stream, there's no problem. That vision was different. Now, in other words, that the Gemara introduced that, the Gemara continues quoting from that incident. Now, Yochel Yavirein B'sicha, you would think, however, so although he wasn't able to walk through that water once it got up higher than his waist, but you would think that he would be able to go through it through swimming. Tamalema, that's what the pasuk there teaches. Ki go hamayim, because the waters were great. Meisachu. Now, my meisachu. What does it mean, meisachu? It means shiyuta, means swimming. And that's because shekin currently shayata siyacha, because they call swimming siyacha. And therefore, you see that even though it was swimming waters, still he wasn't able to go through, even through swimming. That's how strong the raging stream was when it was over his waist. Now, however, Yochel Yavarein Biburin Kektana, you would think that, however, he would be able to go through with a small little boat. Tamalayim, that's what the Pasuk there teaches. Baal Telech by Onishayit, that even Onishayit was not able to go through it. Now, Yochel Yavarein Biburin Gedol, however, you would think, okay, fine, but a large ship would have been able to cross those waters. Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches. Vitzi adir lo yavarin, that even tzi adir couldn't pass through those waters once it reached higher than my waist. Now the Gemara asks, my mashma, what do we see from ani shayit that means a small boat, and tzi adir that means a large ship? That's kedematagim like Rabbi Yosef had interpreted in the Aramaic. He says that like tazel be besvinis tayadin, that we were not able to go even through like a small fisherman's boat. Uburni rabasi loisa gazina, and that even a large ship would not be able to pass it. That's how strong the waters are once it already reached that 1,000 amas when it was higher than his waist, that no matter what it is, there was no way to pass through that waters. Now, even more than that, Amr Yehud ben Pasi, he says, afmal chamavis ein l'rishus lavar b'teche. Those waters, which was the vision of what the third base of Migdash will be with that stream running out of the kachay kachim, even the angel of death doesn't have permission to go through those waters. Because Ksiv Hachet says over here in the pasuk we just quoted, Bal Telech by Ani Shayit, that Ani Shayit cannot pass through those waters. Ksiv Hasim, and there's a pasuk in Eiv that says, and there's a pasuk in Eiv in Perek Alf pasuk Zion, that says that Hashem said to the Satan, who is the Malach HaMavis, where are you coming from? And the Satan answered, he said, Mishut Ba'aretz, from wandering the earth and from going through it. So you see that the word Shut, of wandering through it, is the same term of Ani Shayit, that we see that even Shut, the Malach HaMavis, who has that term of Shut, is not allowed to go through. He himself cannot pass through those powerful stream once it reaches the height of the waist. Now, Amr Pinchas Meshum Rapunet Tzipira, he gives a description of this entire image that was seen in the Nevuah. He says how exactly it works. He says, Mayan Hayyutsu Mibes Kacha Kodshim, this spring that comes out from the Holiest of Holies, where it starts from. So, Betchila Doimel Karnechagov, in the beginning it seems like it's the size of locust horns, very small, very narrow. However, once it reaches, it's going further and further out from the center. Once it reaches the opening of the sanctuary, so then it becomes as wide as the warp thread. Once it reaches a little further out to the antechamber, it becomes like the weft, as wide as the weft thread. Once it reaches the opening of the courtyard, and then it becomes like the opening of a small jug. Behind it is none. This is what it means when it says the Mishnah Masechtas Midos that Rabbi Ben Yaakov Omer, he says that Mayim, we continue the top of Ayin Chesam and Aleph, Mifachin, that was water that was like the opening of the jug, which was that's when Asidin Liyis Yaitzin Mitachas Miftin Abayis, that water like a jug will ultimately be underneath the threshold of the opening of the Yiri, the Beis HaMikdash, which is by the opening of the Azara. Now Mekam V'Eloch, from there on, once it goes past the Temple Mount of the Azara, HaYimizgabavayil, it got stronger and stronger, Achna Megillah Pesach Beis David, until it reached the opening of the House of David, which is a reference to Tzion, which is outside of Yerushalayim. Akimish Megillah Pesach Beis David, once it reached already the opening of the House of David, then Nasa Kenach HaShayit of them becomes like a raging river, like a raging stream. Shabbai Reichtin, where there they would bathe, would be the Zavin, the Bezavis, Nidais, the Yaldis, and the woman gave birth. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Zechariah, it says, Bayemahu, on that day, Yeh Makar Niftach, then the source will open, Lebeis David, Uli Yerushalayim, for the household of David, and for the dwellers of Yerushalayim, Lechatas Lanida, for purification and for Nidus. And that's where we see that in these waters, it would be such a large river already, because we get bigger and bigger, that they would actually go ahead and immerse themselves in there. Now, Amar Beis says, Mikan. So he says from here, that from the fact that we didn't say that it was fit for the Nida to go ahead and purify herself until it got strong like a raging stream when it reached the opening of the House of David, you could infer a remez l'nida, that allusion for the Alochas of Nida, should Sricha, that she needs to immerse in very deep waters, to Leishav Adsevar B'mayim, that she has to sit until her neck reaches into the water, which we said that that's where it already reached up to a greater height when it comes out by Beis David. And only there is where we said that when they got that strong, that's where the Nidus would go ahead and immerse. So you see, it has to be very deep, that is up until her neck. Now, although the Pasuk doesn't say specifically up until the neck, but one thing it's alluding to, that the water has to be very deep, and that's because only there is where we're alluding to the fact that that's where the Nidus would immerse. However, the Gemara concludes, "V'les hilchas kavaseid alach is not like him," and in truth, a nida does not have to immerse in waters that reach all the way up to her neck.